Rick Upchurch with us on Sports Byline USA. 9 years in the NFL as a wide receiver and a kick returner for the Denver Broncos. I mentioned before the break about Denver being kind of a special place. I've done some play-by-play games of the Denver Broncos over the years of my broadcasting career. And the one, I'm going to make a statement here, and I think you're probably going to laugh and agree with me, but I have never, ever been to a city in which one day it's 72 degrees and the next day it's 32 and snowing.
Well, you're certainly in the Rocky Mountains, that's for sure, and you're a mile high. And anytime something comes down, man, over those mountains, and it looks awful dark, you know some bad weather is going to come in. But realize you're in those mountains, and you can expect anything at any time. But let me tell you, Denver is one of the finest cities that I've ever been in. I mean, the people there are just great people. They're great fans. The atmosphere is good there. You know, when we started, we were called a one horse town. But you know what? We really didn't care because we had some of the greatest fans in the whole wide world there. You know, we represented that whole Rocky Mountain region. So we had people coming from Wyoming, from western Nebraska, from western Kansas, from New Mexico, from Arizona, from Utah. So we had that whole Rocky Mountain area, and the fans there were just great. But let me tell you, I really, really enjoyed my time there, going fly fishing up there in the mountains or even going skiing when the season was over. So you had everything there, and I really enjoyed my time there in Colorado.
What are the little nuances, the advantage that the Broncos had playing at home at the Mile High Stadium? Because I think of the old Minnesota Vikings when they played at Metropolitan Stadium. Some of the guys that were on the Purple People Eaters used to tell me, Rick, that when they played the West Coast teams or the Southern Florida teams, that those guys would come in there, could hardly wait to get out of town on a December day after it had been bitterly cold and snowing and everything. And I think the same thing with playing in Denver with the Mile High attitude. Tell me a little bit about the advantages you guys had and how you use that to your advantage.
Well, once again, being at a Mile High, you know, the air is certainly thinner. And I remember, my first engagement with the Mile High City, I went out running, and, well, I was just short of breath. And the guys always told me, they said, you're going to have to adjust to this thin air at Mile High. And so, yeah, when other teams would come in from sea level, they certainly had a tough time, especially going into the fourth quarter. It was really tough for them. And that's where we certainly had an advantage. But let me tell you, you just have to go out and play football and not worry about whether you're at Mile High or whether you're winded or whether whatever. You have to go out and just play football. And a lot, some teams like Oakland and Kansas City, they would come in, and it didn't really bother those teams in San Diego. But other teams, like I said, that would come from the East Coast or from down south, that would bother them as well. But, we used that to our advantage. I mean, it was really hyped up. And I think it was a lot of it was psychological.
Conversely, was there any effect on the Denver Broncos when they would go down to sea level to play a game, Rick?
Well, if we go to Miami, you know, where it was nice and humid, down to Houston or somewhere like that, or Atlanta, that humidity would really work us over when it was real hot in that hotel, because we had to get used to that humidity at that level. That's for sure.
Take me through the 1977 season, the season in which the Denver Broncos go to the Super Bowl. What were the key moments during that season?
Wow, the key moment is how we got off to a fast start. We got out to a fast start. I think we're like 6-0. And we knew at that particular time we were on a roll. And then when we had the opportunity to knock off Oakland for the first time in so many years. Oakland ruled, the AFC West along with Kansas City. And so when we were able to knock off Oakland and then we at that particular time that year, we had the toughest schedule in the National Football League. I mean, we had the Baltimore Colts, we had the Oakland Raiders we had to play twice, we had Kansas City we had to play twice, we had San Diego we had to play twice, we had to play Pittsburgh twice. So we had a tough schedule that year. And so to be able to get through that schedule was going to be grinding. But we stood together, and we were family, and we knew that we were capable of doing some positive things, and we certainly did that year. When we got off to, a 6-0 start, and then we ended up 12-2, we knew that we had something real special.
It was the first time that the Denver Broncos had been in the Super Bowl, and not a lot of people, if you'd never been there before, knew what to expect. Well, what did you guys talk about in going into that game, and what was it like for you as a first-time experience?
We just knew that we had a very good defense. That Orange Crush defense was a good defense, and they didn't give up very many points. We knew offensively we had to score points as well and not put the defense in a bad situation. And so we realized that we would possibly maybe not ever get back to another Super Bowl, and this was a prime opportunity for us. And Coach Red Miller told us to take advantage of the opportunity, grasp it, and when we go down to New Orleans, that it was a business trip, one of the biggest business trips that we'll probably have in our lifetime. And we looked at it that way, and we didn't have any fear with Dallas. We were ready to play them, and just unfortunately, we came up short in that game.
Yeah, 27-10 was the final score, but you had a fine game. You had 125 yards of total offense. In that, you had 94 yards in kickoff returns, 22 yards punt returns as well. And what did that game turn on?
Well, what happened was is that we had too many turnovers in that game. We turned the ball over a lot, and so did Dallas. And Dallas was able to capitalize on the turnovers that they got. We didn't capitalize on the turnovers that we had.
And also, Rick, when you take a look at the Super Bowls, it was still in those formative years where, you know, this was Super Bowl number 12, where it was the AFL teams going up against the NFL teams. How long did it take for teams like Denver and Kansas City and San Diego and others that came from the AFL, how long did it take for them to get rid of that kind of label of being an NFL team?
Well, I believe that when the New York Jets knocked off, Baltimore.
Right.
I think that was when our attitude in the AFC West was like, hey, we can. I mean, in the AFC, we could compete and play with anybody. I think when the Kansas City Chiefs when they won a world championship, I think everybody realized it, and so when those things happen, when those events happen, all of a sudden you come of age and you say, we can play with anybody, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the AFC, whoever it is, you can go out and play and do some positive things.
Was there a discernible difference in the philosophy of playing offensive football with the AFL teams over the established NFL teams? Because it seems to me that the NFL teams were more of a ground-oriented, grind-it-out type of teams, whereas the AFL would just let the ball fling all over the field and everything. Is that true?
Well, from what I remember, the NFL was certainly a grinded out team because they were old school, the Green Bay Packers and the New York Giants and those type of teams. And you'd have to look at the coaches, man, that were coaching in the AFL. They were about wide open, throwing the ball, and you had to have excitement and a lot of scoring because the AFL wasn't established yet. And so once I think football fans saw the difference in the grinded out, defensive oriented type of game, and then you see a wide open game where there's a lot of scoring, there was a lot more excitement when you went to those type of games, and I think that really helped the AFL come of age as well.
You can talk about rivalries all you want in the old NFL teams, but I thought that the rivalry between the AFL teams, such as, say, Denver against Kansas City, Denver against Oakland in particular, it was a pretty intense. What was the essence of the rivalry between those teams?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Denver, initially when they came into the league, didn't have a lot of success. I mean, they were almost, getting walked on. And then when they did start to have success, it wasn't on a consistent basis. Kansas City, they were world champions, and they're saying to themselves, hey, we want to stay world champions, and we want to be able to rule the AFC West. And we know what Oakland was about. They were rough, tough, just win, baby type of attitude. And Al Davis, man, preached that philosophy. So, and then you got Eric Coryell, over there in San Diego. They said to themselves, I think we can do some positive things. And, when Eric Coryell came in, throwing that ball all over the place. Charlie Joyner and you know, Wes Chandler and John Jefferson and Kellen Winslow and those guys, you know, they brought another aspect of the game. And so it was about who wanted to rule the AFC West, because at that particular time, the AFC West was probably the best and strongest, you know, division in the AFC conference. So it was rock'em sock'em. And Oakland, you know, they came in, man, with that attitude that they were just going to beat everybody up, and most of the times they did.
Well, thanks a lot, Rick, for joining us on Sports Byline. You're welcome here anytime.
Well, you know what? Thank you so very much. I truly appreciate it.
Rick Upchurch with us, 9 seasons, all with the Denver Broncos. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.